Warm welcome from Berlin. I'm in Berlin, Germany, center of the city. Yeah, and I'm very happy to be here again on this amazing platform, giving us this opportunity to meet and practice together. Yeah, so I saw this little video from Martin Elwood, 10 years Sangha life. Wow, 10 years. I mean, at that time, I remember when it started, it was really a pioneer project at that time. No one did this huge online teachings like now. Yeah, so thank you. Thank you for inviting me and the opportunity to teach here this evening. And yeah, it's an honor to be here for me. Yeah. So welcome wherever you are, however you are right now. So today's talk, as Faith said, it's embracing the radical act of rest. Another exploration of radical rest for those who know me. Yeah, you know that I'm really diving into this theme, topic of rest a lot. Yeah. So I tell you, again, what we will do also for the ones who came a bit later. So first, I will invite you to a collective rest meditation, about 30 minutes. Then I will speak, I will talk about the radical act of rest. Yeah, so how can we rest in the midst of crisis, instability? Existential threats? How can we rest in our lives, in our practice? Perhaps it's the same life, practice. Yeah, and I was reading the news today, and it's quite, to me as well, quite shocking. We are really in the midst of a crisis, instability, wars, or, yeah. And, I'm aware, I read this and my alarm system is going up immediately. And I'm aware anyway that I'm privileged. I read this. And at the same time, I'm sitting here quietly in Berlin, Germany, wealthy country, quite stable. There's no war. And I'm also aware, perhaps people who are here right now, you are not in such a quiet environment. And there is much more going on for you right now in your country or in the region where you are. So I'm inviting you to rest. And for me, it's essential. And it's more and more important than ever to remember how we can find rest and refuge. Yeah, so embracing the act of, embracing the radical act of rest. What keeps us from resting? So I will talk a bit about mental rest, about physical rest, about the connection between feeling safe, rest and belonging. And I like it when it's really practical. So really to look at what can help us to rest in our life. What means resting in our Buddhist practice and also in our meditation practice. So I will speak about this. And then the third part will be sharing. I prefer to name it sharing. Just to sharing your experiences, our experiences here together, because we are many people and there's a lot to share perhaps. Yeah, let's see. Okay. So first, I invite you to a meditation like always here for the ones who are here on Sunday evenings. And this is a rest meditation. Like a collective resting time, allowing our bodies, hearts, minds really to come to rest. So there's no wrong way doing this. Yeah. It's meditation in a horizontal position. So I invite you to lie down. And yeah, sometimes we fall asleep, and that's okay as well. I'm sure you will wake up in the right moment. Okay. It's about the intention to meditate. Yeah. And if just see what happens and how the experience is for you. So, just looking in your room, is there a possibility to lie down? Perhaps on the floor, on a yoga mat, perhaps on the sofa. I give you a moment just to find a spot. So, giving your body the permission to lie down if that feels good. Yeah, checking in. What does this body need? What does this body want? And then please find a comfortable position. Resting on your back if that feels comfortable. For some people, lying on the back feels too open, too vulnerable. So just checking in. Other options are lying on the side, on the belly, using cushions. And you don't need to be seen. When you are meditating, you can turn off your camera, of course. Laying down your body, which position does it want to go into? And taking time to settle into the posture. Allowing the body to take place, to take its place on the ground. Closing your eyes if that feels comfortable. If you lie down and you feel it's not the right posture, feel free to change it at any moment. Now I'm inviting you to place one or two hands on your heart area or belly, or another soothing, supportive place on the body. If it feels too much to touch the body, you can also touch a cushion, hold a cushion, or touch a blanket, something soft. Feeling the warmth, gentle touch of your hands. Arriving, taking some slow, relaxing breaths, allowing yourself to arrive. Arriving in the session, arriving in the body. Feeling the hands as a reminder to bring friendliness, loving presence to yourself, to the experience, to yourself throughout this meditation. You can leave your hands there or you let them sink beside the body. Connecting to this body posture, to the position. Feeling into the position of the body. Being interested in the contact of the body with the floor, the mattress. Feeling into body sensations, just in general. Feeling into the aliveness of the body. Perhaps there's some vibrating energy flowing, tingling. It's cold or warm. Connecting to the posture, the movements, the texture. Feeling the weight, the gravity in the body. There's nothing to do right now, no one, nowhere to run to, nothing to achieve, nothing to find out. Enjoying the simplicity, this body, lying there, breathing. Perhaps it's just in us right now in this moment. This breathing body in us to be here breathing, in us to be this human being on this earth. Bringing some softness into the head and tension your attention to your head, and laying down the back of your head. Something we are holding a lot. All day we are holding this head upright. Allowing the weight of the head and going to your neck, your shoulders. Perhaps some softening here as well. Often there are a lot of stuff we carry there. Going down to your arms, feeling the arms, also the weight of your arms. Allow yourself to feel it fully. Let them rest on the ground. Arms, hands, fingers. Nothing to hold, nothing to grab, just. Laying there on the ground and going to your back, really feeling the length of the spine. Some unnecessary tension somewhere. Some releasing, perhaps with the out breath. This natural out breath. And so to your chest. Chest area, belly. Your legs. Allowing the legs to lay down and your feet as well. Feeling the whole body touching the ground. Or these points of contact where the body is touching the ground. Weight of the body. Letting the whole body rest from head to toes, just in this moment. And when you when you're very serious practice. So, perhaps allowing to give you an inner smile, softening. There's no effort needed. Connecting with your breath, with the natural breathing. Also nothing to do, body knows how to breathe. Allowing it to happen, this in-breath, perhaps nourishing the cells of your body. This natural out breath, this relaxation, widening, opening, which is coming with the out breath, letting it happen. The out breath as a support. And when you are observing your breath, this is an invitation to really feel it. Feeling the breath, perhaps like movements in the body, the rhythm of the breathing. Soft rhythm of the breathing, allowing the breath to caress you from the inside. Remembering there's no doing. Resting in this breathing body. Just breathing out, softening, perhaps even sinking a bit into the ground. Melting a bit into the earth. Or if it all feels too heavy, you can also letting the body be gently carried by water. Allowing this body to take the whole space, to take its place. Perhaps you can feel how the ground is carrying the body, allowing the earth, the ground, to take care of you, resting now here, this moment. And if the mind is trying to figure out something, plan or figuring out what happened today, what will come tomorrow, how you feel right now, remembering nothing to do right now. And if there's a lot of mental activity, reconnecting with this body, Perhaps with the hand on the body, reconnecting. Reconnecting with this breathing body. Contact with the earth, with the ground. So we are not looking for any experience or trying to relax very hard or trying to control our experience. There's just experience taking place. Grounded breathing body and receiving experience. Resting in the field of this ever-changing sensual experience. Field of the hearing, sounds, noises appearing, disappearing. The feeling, the field of the feeling, sensations. Perhaps smelling, tasting. Resting in this immediacy of this moment right now. And remembering you're not alone here. We are together in this space, meditating, practicing together. You are part of this group, and we are in a shared collective space. And sensing into this field of our group as well. This togetherness. This field we create in this moment. Resting together. And before we finish this meditation, I will read your poem. It's from Dana Fultz. And it's called From Root to Bloom. It is in us right now to taste one moment of peace. Of course, I want more. But at least the door is open. It is in us to draw a conscious breath and let my hands relax. Fingers releasing their tight grasp on things outside of my control. It is in us to shed a layer of stress as if taking off a jacket or a pair of too tight shoes. Ease of being has to start somewhere. This breath is my first step. And now we are coming to the end of this meditation. And really take your time. Take your time to gently, slowly open your eyes again. Start moving your hands, your arms, your feet. When you were lying on the floor, really taking time. Yeah, rolling on the side, rolling the body on the side, resting a bit on the side, and then slowly coming to a sitting position, if you wish, if you wish, or you just stay, or you just stay lying there, just see what feels right for you. Giving the body a stretch, perhaps you want to stand up. Giving the body what it needs right now. Okay. was quite an interesting meditation for me here. I don't know if you heard the noise. I'm not sure. I was a bit worried. And then I thought, yeah, we just practice in the midst of everything. So there were the kids of my neighbors really on top of my head. I think the two kids had a tantrum and they were banging with their feet on the ground and really, really crying and shouting. So, yeah, now they are quiet. So I don't know if you heard it. Okay, good. So I will speak now a bit. So just, I will speak about the topic radical rest. Just lean back, listen, make yourself comfortable. Okay, so I will start to speak a bit about, to say, why I'm so interested in this topic. So the ones of you who know me, you know, I'm for years now, I'm diving into this resting. And for me, it's really a kind of, it's a very powerful practice. Yeah, I discovered for myself and I offer to students. So first time I really had a strong experience with resting was when I'm a self-compassion teacher. And the first time, I don't know, perhaps 15 years ago, I did this self-compassion intensive 5 days course. And I went to this course and then I made this big effort to be compassionate to myself, to be this good student of self-compassion. Yeah. I was really turning self-kindness, friendliness in another thing to optimize myself. So yeah, it was a struggle. I turned it again into a struggle, into something I have to achieve. So at these teachers, they gave us permission for 5 days. They gave us permission to be kind to ourselves, to rest. And da, da, da. I heard this every day, this allowing. And I remember the moment after a few days when I was lying in bed in the evening and suddenly I felt such a relief. Suddenly I felt such an enormous relief. I am allowed to rest. And I really felt it, you know, when it's not just words, I really felt it in my body. And it was like, and I was sinking into my bed and I felt it all night. And I was really, really amazed how deep I can allow myself to feel rest. And perhaps it was the first moment I felt this in my whole life. Yeah. It's kind, I found it was kind of ridiculous that someone from outside gave me the permission. I needed to hear it, to have these words. Someone says it to me and then, oh, I can rest now. Yeah. And since then, I saw so many people on a similar journey. Yeah. In the courses and in retreats. Oh, that is something. Yeah. We are trying so hard to be this good meditators. Myself as well, sitting upright in the first row, proving to myself and to others that I'm this good Dharma Dharma student. So I sat there even sick with fever, upright, no medicaments, really tough. So learning to rest. When I was thinking about the talk, I thought perhaps it's a theme of my life or so. I'm from a working class background, was all about work. I have a quite tough trauma history. I'm a queer woman. I experience minority stress, transgenerational survivor stress. So as many of us So I will explore it a bit more now, what I mean with rest as a radical act. Is somehow paradoxical to describe rest as action. Rest as something active that we have to do. I have to stop again something. I have to stop. I have to pause. I have to cultivate. I have to practice rest. And on the other side, what we cultivate all the time are these habits of running, this struggling habit. Perhaps it even has become a kind of identity. Yeah, this struggling identity in our daily lives, also in our formal practice. And often we get really lost in this struggle. I will read you a poem from David White. It's called Lost. Stand still. The trees ahead and the bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here, and you must treat it as a powerful stranger. Must ask permission to know it and to be known. The forest breathes. Listen, it answers. I have made this place around you. If you leave it, you may come back again, saying, here. No two trees are the same to raven. No two branches are the same to wren. If what a tree or a bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. So it's one of my favorite poems from David White. And there's so much in it, yeah? So stand still. The words for rest, it might be receiving how it's in this poem, listening, softening, embracing, breathing out, allowing the pebble to sink into the river, into the ground, like Thich Nhat Hanh says in this, he wrote a beautiful article about resting in the river, the pebbles sink into the river. So just if you want to lean back and just listen, if you want to close your eyes, listen to these words for a moment and let them in. You can rest now. You can rest now. What happens for you when you hear these words? When you let them in? You can rest now. Are there thoughts coming, or critic, resistance? Perhaps feelings, perhaps relief or anger? You can rest now. What happens in your body? Perhaps there's tension. Perhaps there's a loosening in your jaws. And opening your eyes again. So, yeah, it's difficult to resist being overactive. We are struggling to improve, to optimize ourselves, to become better, to make the world a better place. We are struggling And it's a good thing that we want all this. But often then it's really out of balance and we are in this striving, striving, striving mode. And very often we don't know anymore how to rest. We try hard to relax. Yeah, there's sometimes this, when this is done, I do first this productive, more productive things first. I work through my to-do lists. I criticize myself because I'm not able to stop. Yeah, and we are just, remember, we are socialized that we have to earn rest. Yeah, in German, there are a lot of sayings. First, I don't know, if you don't work, you don't get something to eat. I don't know, they're horrible ones, I think, in a lot of languages. Yeah, it's this idea we deserve to rest later when the work is finished. And sometimes somehow this later never comes. It's just going on and on and on. So I will speak a bit about these obstacles for rest, not knowing how to rest, and rest as a practice in our practice. Yeah, and as I said in the beginning, I looked at the news and it worried me what I read in the last days. It worried me even more than before. So I try not to look at the news, but I want to be informed. I have to be informed in a way. I need to be prepared. Perhaps I want to be reassured, to feel safe, to relax. Yeah, and it's called, there's a term for this, to look at the news and then to just to continue to look at the news. It's called doom scrolling. Doom scrolling is even a term for it. Yeah, to spend a lot of time to look at news, which are most of the time negative. And of course, this is leading to anxiety, more anxiety, stress, depression, sense of helplessness, and even to a learned helplessness. It's a term from Martin Seligman. So for us, it's in us to see other people in helpless situations that they cannot control in order to feel more helpless ourselves. So we learn to feel helpless by watching other helpless people. So the news are teaching us helplessness. And then, yeah, helplessness, what does it mean? Nothing I do matters, I'm not even trying. Yeah, this can happen. This happens. I look at the news, I want to be reassured, and then I feel helpless, more helpless than before, perhaps. And yeah, I looked at the news, and then there was a little thing which just beside the news, there was a little thing, how to have the perfect Sunday in Berlin. And immediately then I clicked on this, how to have the perfect Sunday in Germany. Of course, I want the perfect Sunday. So just to get away from it and to click on something else, just to give me some rest. Yeah, we look at screens. We look at screens to relax. So I want to mention it here because of this mental overload. And that's why I want to speak a bit about this mental rest. Yeah, we live in a world where there's day and night, the possibility to go on internet and to look at things. So, and we do it. We all do it, I guess. Most of us do it. A huge industry is working to keep us scrolling and making money out of us doing it. Yeah, so of course, using devices is disconnecting us from our bodies, what we see. We have a resonance in our body landscape. Yeah, so, and what we see and hear is something is resonating, creating tension. And as you see, creating tension is really resisting the pull of gravity. Yeah, it's not this, it's like, ooh, all is going up, creating tension in the mind, more stress, more upset, like a vicious circle, like a loop. Yeah, mental rest. How can we invite mental rest, moments of mental rest in our day? Yeah, I was busy with this. Especially if we are in a region where there is a lot of crisis, where we feel threatened, where we are threatened, and the nervous system is on a high level all the time. What keeps us from resting? What happens when we rest? Perhaps say it like this. I say it like this. So when we rest, we come in touch. Perhaps we come in touch with our feelings, emotions, with our bodies. We feel our bodies. And often, yeah, there's something we don't want to feel, or it's too much to feel. And then we distract ourselves. Distract ourselves. Nothing wrong with distracting. Sometimes it's really good to deal with what's happening because it's too much, but often is feeling out of balance. Yeah. So, all these devices make us feel more isolated, helpless, more helpless with learned helplessness. And then this stress and fear, unprocessed fear, leads, of course, to fear-driven action. So acting out of survival modes is so much suffering. Yeah, and often this overactivity is coming out, coming from a place of lack as well. What do I mean with this? Coming out of a place of lack. We are living in a world of lack. We are not taking it so personally. We are living in a world of lack, which is called capitalism. There's this illusion of lack all the time. There's never enough. We need more, be better. We are not working enough. We are not doing enough. You are not enough. I am not enough, perhaps. Yeah. I remember years ago when first, I was assisting Martin Elwood on a retreat for the first time. And I had to guide a meditation. And there were 60 people sitting outside. And I asked Martin what to do, how to do it. And he said to me, just be yourself. Oh my God, I was angry. I didn't say it, but that made me really angry. I thought, what is this teacher? What is this instruction? Can he not just tell me what to do and how to do it? Just be yourself. Felt like these words on a postcard. We see everywhere now. Yeah, and I'm still working hard on it to be myself. Those challenge, and it's at the same time, it's such a relief. Just be yourself, just be myself. Giving up the struggle, this constant effort to be better, to be different, to be more Buddhist, a better Buddhist teacher, more awakened, requires so much energy and effort. Yeah, to constantly become this better, more perfect human being. I read you some words from Annie Lamott. Some of you might know them. I read them quite often. So one day I did stop. I began consciously to break the rules I learned in childhood. I wasted more time as a radical act. I stared off into space more, into the middle distance like a cat. Yeah, wasting more time staring off into space like a cat, into the middle distance. What are we doing when there's nothing to do, when there's a moment without obligations or work? Often we organize our free time to improve, train the body, train the mind. Yeah. And when I say this, I think, oh yeah, train the body. I go for a walk and I'm counting. I have this little thing, counting my steps. So counting my steps, going for a walk, or using walks to make phone calls, using the time. I don't know if you know that. So how would it be if we are in us? If this moment would be in us? Often it's not in us, or it should be different. We should be different. So as I said before, there is this habit of struggle, perhaps even a kind of struggling identity. Who I am, what am I if I'm not doing, not running, not struggling? So also creating a sense of control, reaffirming this sense of me. So there's a connection between resting, trusting, surrendering. And Byung Chul Han is a South Korean German philosopher who wrote a little book. It's called Vita Contemplativa, Praise of Inactivity. He said, those who are genuinely inactive do not affirm themselves. They give up their names and become no one. Nameless and intentionless, they surrender to what happens. So, yeah, stop running, stop doing, surrender now. Surrender. It's quite difficult, yeah. It's not easy stepping out of lifelong habits. It can feel dangerous. It needs courage. It needs other people. And we have created this identity, struggling identity, in order to survive. Yeah, this kind of survivor identity, perhaps even. So stepping out of familiar patterns of survival can feel risky. So rest as a practice of trusting that this constant alertness is not needed. Yeah, it's a journey, discovery, especially if we experience trauma or if we experience minority stress, we are excluded, discriminated by the mainstream culture. So it's a journey, discovery. And Dharma practice is inviting us to remember there are other options to live our lives than in this survival mode. Yeah, allowing ourselves to be slow, to be gentle in the whole process. So we are all here now. We have this joy, privilege to have access to these practices, to have a path. Dharma is inviting us to rest, to open up, to be curious, to experience the practice of rest in a safe, in a brave environment. Yeah, and what does it mean practically? First, asking yourself the question, why do I meditate? What is driving me? Yeah, it's okay to have this striving, but just to be aware of it and then breathing out. How can we rest into practice, release the doing the doing of meditation, the being the meditator in control. And yeah, opening how I guided you in the practice, opening into here-ness, suchness. Suchness, nice name. Here-ness, there's no effort needed. Here-ness cannot be done. It's always here. We are always here. We are just remembering. Awaken to this here-ness, which is always available. Wherever you are is called here, like David White said. And then I invited you to this meditation in a horizontal posture, resting on the ground, getting familiar with a relaxed body. Relaxed body, relaxed mind. Giving up the struggle in a felt bodily sense. Yeah, this can be an invitation. Allowing yourself to rest on the ground and can also open to bigger space, melting, seeing, oh, I'm not this body, stepping out of this illusion of separation. Yeah, and resting in the field of this ever-changing sensual experience. Basic feeling that the world is in my senses can create a deep feeling of rest and belonging. I'm always home in the field of my senses where the world is appearing. Yeah, that's Tatsudo Baden Roshi said this. So, yeah, instead of living, acting from a place of lack, isolation, fear, invitation here is to act from a place of deep rest, from compassion, to engage in changes in a powerful, in a more sustainable way. So I read somewhere, well-rested activist is a powerful force for change. So resting, like an underlying thread to remember in our days, in our practice, is teaching us to trust more and more this natural unfolding of things and to come in touch with this very essence of being alive. And a powerful path to liberation, to awakening. So thank you for listening. I hope there was some inspiration for you. I see that the time is really running. So before I ask you to share something, I want to remind you, as Faith said in the beginning, that here is a practice of dana donation, this Buddhist tradition, this generosity of the heart. So Sangha life is connecting us, practicing and sharing together. And we as teachers share our time, wisdom, supporting you. So your dana, your support is needed to keep this wonderful Sangha Life platform running. Yeah, so there will be a link in the chat. And thank you for your support. Yeah, so there is a moment now. I don't like so much question and answers, I must say. I would like sharing. Sharing what happened when you did the meditation. What are your, because we are such a big Sangha here, so what are your resources to rest? How do you experience rest in your practice? Or what is really working for you? What ways did you find out for yourself? Because many of you practice for a long time as well. So this is a big invitation. Okay, so let's see. Ah ja. Bartlomiej. I hope I pronounce it in the right way.
Hi. Yeah, that's right. That's correct. It's Bartłomiej.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Nice to meet you, Vipka. Is that right? Yeah, Vipka.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from Poland, so we're like neighbors. Yeah, so I couldn't resist the teaching on the rest, so it was so inviting. Thanks a lot. And I just felt the energy behind that of experience, the deep rest that you have and you can share with us. And I can appreciate that. And also, by meaning the rest in the daily, to me, it's just coming back to your body like you describe it, just finding yourself in the moment. And then the letting go is happening, right? Is that what you meant, of this alertness that we all have, like we're trying to strive and we want and we're just pushing one thing after another. And I found this resting is actually, yeah, it's coming back to the body. It's first. And then this quality of actually, like you said, the surrounding as well, it's taking place somehow. But first we need to acknowledge that. Is that what you meant by this trusting into this resting? Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So how can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How do you come back to your body? How do you do this?
Well, trying to feel it. How is my body right now in this moment? Like any sensations and anything that's happening in the body, from the warmth or if I'm moving, if I'm walking, that's actually even more sometimes help because I can feel my feet. And just
Okay.
recognizing and finding my awareness in that. And if there is any tension or you feel any pressure, so you just try to relax into this, maybe a relief, maybe some stress if there is in the body. Yeah, this usually works for me.
So walking, you said walking, and really feeling the touch of your feet on the ground. This
Absolutely.
is okay. This is how you get in touch with your body. And is this also how you can rest? Is my question.
That's right. But my anchor is the daily meditation when I sit in the morning first thing, and then I really can experience this deeper rest when I'm feeling breathing through my whole body, sitting and breathing in and out, and just try not to do anything but allow the breath to happening by itself, like you mentioned. Then this deeper rest actually can take place and
Okay.
you'll find that you actually, yeah, you don't need to chase all these thoughts and they're moving away eventually with the patience and just persistence of this like light effort, I would say. But it's just by observing everything happening naturally in this process.
Okay.
So,
And as you said, there's a lot of allowing.
absolutely. And this
Yeah.
might probably the deeper rest taking place, in every day. But walking in the nature or maybe some exercising, that will help too.
Okay, buddy.
To let a little bit of this busyness in the head, like going out in it to the nature.
Okay.
Yeah. I was also interested, how did that first retreat go, when you were a little bit angry?
It went really well.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Okay.
So, yeah, nice to meet you and thanks for
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
There was two things in the chat that I could share, Vibka.
Yeah.
So Elke just wrote, "Lovely meditation and talk, Vibka. Thank you." I also want to take a moment to invoke Patricia Hersey and other BIPOC and and Indigenous women into the space who have been engaging in rest as resistance for many decades. As a Black woman born and raised in American colonization, and having seen my country choose white supremacy over democracy in November, despite my best efforts, I definitely am in my rest period.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning Trisha Hersey. Yeah, it's a big inspiration for me as well. Yeah, thank you.
And then there was one more question from Carol Graham. Says, I don't want to be on camera, but I want to share. I recognize my state of rest in practice when experiencing stillness. At first, it was shocking to experience this realization, and now it is very comforting and quieting.
Okay, thank you. So, Patrice, I don't know if I pronounce it well, Patrice.
Yes, that's right.
Hello.
Hi, thank you so much. I just wanted to draw a comparison between this and another session that I had listened to, and unfortunately I was unable to find the source of that. But the key point I'd like to make here is that the person that was leading that was speaking of doing versus being. And so in that context, they gave the example of stretching out on the sofa after a hard day's work. And that constitutes being, you know, if you're not doing anything, if you're not thinking about things, you just relax on the sofa, you're just being. And that's, you know, something that it's difficult for us as people in Western culture and probably other cultures as well to really be able to lock into. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that thought about it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Patrice. Just taking this moment to allow rest on a sofa.
Yes.
Sounds very simple and not so easy to apply it. Yeah. So I'm just looking if I see something, but I'm glad that Faith is here looking at the chat as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else that needs to be read out loud.
Okay. So we still have some minutes if someone wants to share something.
I have a question to anybody who would like to answer. How do people manage the comparison? Because for me, I think that is the biggest problem, to not compare myself to all the activity going on around me and then being able to allow that rest.
Yes. So I just say a few words and then see if someone else wants to say something. Comparing. You know, this comparing mind is also critic. It's also this inner critic. It's part of the inner critic. Yeah. So it's part of the inner critic. So I know this very well. I look out of the window. I'm sick or I have no energy, I look out of the window, I see these people jogging, doing sports and all. And I think, oh my God, they are all so well. And me again, me again, me again. Yeah. So it's a part of this inner critic. So I think how to work with it, the first thing is to realize this is an inner critical voice speaking. Yeah. The first thing is to realize, because often it's so automatically happening that we are not even aware of it. We just have horrible feelings or feeling guilty, and then to realize, comparing voice. Yeah? This is always the first step. Yeah. So sometimes it's in us to see, oh, okay, this comparing voice again, the inner critic. Yeah. If you want to go a step further, you can ask this voice, why is it here? Does it want to help you? Does it want to keep you safe? Yeah, just to go in contact with it and then ask, does it want to just starting a conversation with this voice? And often these critical voices are there because they want to help us in a way. Yeah, there are feelings with it, perhaps fear that we will never stand up again. You know, often with difficult emotions is connected. Yeah, I don't know if something was helpful. It's a bit short because we don't have so much space for it right now. What do you think,
Ellie? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It is true. I mean, usually when I can notice it and I can say that to myself, something like, okay, how is this helping me? Then that can transform it. But I'm often not able to catch it. And I think what you just said there, just labeling it very quickly, that would be a good first step practice. So yeah, thank you. And thank you for the session. It was a really, really wonderful session.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. It's already 9:30 here in the evening in Berlin. So I guess we have to stop now. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you to everyone that you've been here. It seems a bit short, nearly. Could spend some more time with this. Thank you for your trust in participating, for your input, for your questions. Yeah, wishing you a good rest today, tonight, and yeah, hoping to meet you again somewhere.